I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You like this song, Brian?
What is it?
I don't know. It sucks.
Sounds like Katy Perry a little bit. Last Friday Night. You know that song? That's a good one.
No, I don't. Do you, Limits?
I love Last Friday Night by Katy Perry.
He loves it.
It's a good song. It's a catchy song, right, Brian?
Yeah. What did we talk about last week? Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, Latitude and Attitude. I do remember that.
R.I.P.
Let's go back to the report card. Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette in with me until 2 o'clock, following along with Ray Fittipaldo's report card. Let's go to the offensive line. He gives them a B-minus, running game strong start, pass protection nice. Then some penalties came in. Broderick Jones, McCollum, everybody has a rough day against Dexter Lawrence, so that's nothing new. Sayamalo with a late flag. I think a little rough at a B-minus. When my offense gets over 400 yards and I get the penalties and one of them wiped out a touchdown, man, I would take that performance from my O-line on a lot of days. Your pass protection was pretty darn good for most of the day against an absolute beast. Not only in the middle, you had Brian Burns with 6.5 sacks. Good for them that Thibodeau was out. I just think it was a good performance. I'll give him a solid B.
Azeez Ojulari pretty good too on that other edge, and you know he schooled Broderick Jones on the sack that he allowed. I'm pretty worried about him right now.
He's a worry point, isn't
he? At right tackle.
Yeah,
he is. I mean, it's been all season. You know, it's not like he's been a turnstile every game, but I mean, he's at the bottom of the league in penalties taken for O linemen. He's at the bottom of the league in sacks allowed, at least by PFF's crediting numbers, and it just matches with what you're seeing. I mean, that game last night at times looked like the preseason concerns with him. You know, there's not a lot of other answers. Troy Fautanu's not coming back, obviously. Dylan Cook, I mean, he's just a guy, but he could.
He's
got to
be doing
IR.
Something good in the run game, though, because the run game's been very good. I don't think he's been like god awful, but he's had some glaring mistakes that have hurt them.
Yeah, I mean, he's still athletic enough to get out and move and get to, and Isaac Sayamalo was out there in open space at one point.
Yeah.
Leading the way. So good to see him getting back to it after starting off with an injury. I think Ryan McCollum holding up pretty well, and he was playing through pain last night, Joe. At one point there, they were looking at his right arm on the bench. Najee Harris came up to give him a high five, and he did it with his left hand because he couldn't quite.
Like Ron reaching for the check after a dinner, the old alligator arm.
He certainly short-armed it on that one. But
I thought
yeah.
You'd like that one more, Limits. I didn't get any
laughs. The old alligator arm?
Yeah. Okay, so what's your grade?
I'm fine with B-minus from Ray. I mean, do you dock any for Calvin Anderson coming in there and giving up a sack for Dan Moore?
I don't know. The offensive line, to me, has to be doing something right if you're pumping out four. How many yards did they finish with? 430?
And you've got a I don't want to say he's a statue, but Russell Wilson, we know, is not going to be escaping and moving around a ton. It's not like you're blocking for Justin Fields. I mean, I guess you kind of grade on a curve there a little bit as well. And yes, Joe, the final yardage total for the Steelers was 426.
There you go. Give me a grade, Limits.
Solid B.
Me too.
Solid B for the offensive line, all things considered. I mean, there's still so many backups at the start of the year that are in there. McCormick wasn't expected
that
to start.
That too, McCollum. Brian. Don't you have to grade on a curve here a little bit? I think Gray is being very harsh here. Very harsh.
The standard is the standard. Next man up. No,
we got to go quickly through the defense. Defensive line, he gave a D. I got no problem with that. I mean, they got bullied on their home field.
They were not noticeable.
No. By a team that isn't a great running team. Come on. It's supposed to be a great defense. The one thing you need to do is absolutely smash the run on your home field. And now they've been run on a couple times by teams that can't run at Acrisure, Dallas, and now this club. Plus, Indy ran on them. I don't know. Yeah, D's good.
Not a good O-line from the Giants. Not really a dangerous running back duo, but you wouldn't have known it from last night.
I give him a C-. I don't like all the no-name running backs starting to create their own names for themselves on primetime football against the Steelers.
Linebackers, he gives a B overall. You know, I would say if they closed the game, Watt and Highsmith was, I thought, the best player on the field. 12 quarterback pressures. Now, their outside guys got burned a little bit early by a lot of screens and things like that, but in the end, they closed the game for you. And then the inside linebackers, Roberts again made some great plays. Patrick Queen, I would call him a mild disappointment 8 games in. You?
Yeah, he's not really standing out in a way that's making you worried about him, but with that kind of free agent acquisition, you want him to stand out in a way that you are noticing him week to week. So I think he's doing his job for the most part. I'm mild disappointment is probably fair. And I would give these guys, TJ Watt, I'd give them an A. TJ Watt coming through as an A player again at the end of the day.
You'd give them an A from last night?
I'm weighting it so much toward what the outside guys did. Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt.
All right, I guess that's fair. I mean,
taking over that game when they needed a jolt.
Something must have gone wrong if they're giving up 400 yards to the Giants, and it couldn't have been all the defensive line. But okay, you want to give them an A? How about that?
Oh, I want to go a different route and give the outside linebackers an A+ and the inside linebackers a B-, and then meet you in the middle at B+ or so, because I mean there was
like
a substantial
the way he
difference.
Thinks, Brian.
Yeah, that's a gray area with the D line, the linebackers, where to put these guys when we grade them. But yeah, even on a night that Alex Highsmith shined, TJ Watt is always the guy bringing it home.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Secondary, he gives a B+ to. I don't know about that. Dante Jackson had a very rough night. They held Neighbors relatively in check, almost had a touchdown there. I'm going more a B- myself. You?
Minka Fitzpatrick had a big breakup there. That was kind
and
of
and Beanie had the big play.
Vindication for Minka was kind of a similar play to that one against the Colts where he got called for a flag. I mean, he just came in there like a rocket, dropped the shoulder, clean hit, obviously, and dislodged that ball. That was huge for them. Yeah, Beanie Bishop, I mean, you could say some of these are easy interceptions, but you still got to make the play when it comes to you. And we've seen the Steelers
to
drop
keep his feet in.
We've seen the Steelers drop so-called easy.
And he didn't use two right feet to keep it in either. He got both feet in.
No, he didn't. Yes. So that's a plus.
I thought
Dante Jackson.
Like that better too, Limits. You don't like anything that's happening here.
I like a lot of what's
You've
happening.
You've seen very dour today.
Dour.
Go ahead, Brian.
Dante Jackson shaky, and that's the only reason I'd keep him from an A. I'll go B plus.
Okay.
So that works
good
for me.
Solid B for me. Dante Jackson needs to be better.
Told you I wasn't going to disagree much with
that.
Yeah,
man. And when they go against real offenses with real quarterbacks, which they're going to do almost every week in this in the post-bye world, this could be problematic.
Brian Daboll flipped angrily on Daniel Jones after that game in the presser where he basically said...
Which game?
This last night, he said he should have put a shift. I guess I shouldn't say angrily, but he pretty clearly put it on him that he didn't shift the tight end over to chip TJ Watt.
I thought the tight end missed the signal.
No,
that's
Jones
missed. That's
the
impression I got.
Jones did not do his job pre-snap.
Holy bird milk.
Yeah. So things are going well in the Big Apple for both teams.
What did you make of that play, City Dweller?
I just cannot believe how bad the Giants and Jets are. Just in general, the Jets are hyped up. Oh, playoffs.
Who's worse? They play in the Super Bowl right now. Who wins, Jets or Giants?
Oh, my gosh. I think the Jets would still win.
I picked the Giants.
I think the Jets would still win. Daniel Jones just... If you're not doing the pre-snap stuff correctly at this point, I mean, he's supposed to.
It wasn't all his fault, though. He's got guys that not coming to a stop, not lining up properly. Their offense is just a disorganized mess, and yet they put up 400 yards.
One really undercovered, under-discussed thing last week was that the Giants were interested in Russell Wilson this offseason.
They were?
Yeah, they met with him before he came to the Steelers to meet in Pittsburgh.
Holy bird follicles.
I remember fans were taking photos with him at the Newark airport.
last but not least is coaching. Ray gives the coaching a B. I think that's rather harsh, and I'm angry at him. I'd give it at least an A-. Artie Smith got 426 yards of offense. I think the things that went wrong last night were player malfunction more than the coaches.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The defense got a little bit out-schemed, I will say that. Now, maybe I'm warming up to Ray. I'll give him a B.
Special teams, we didn't say. That should be an A, I think. Ray said A-. I'd give special teams an A with Calvin Austin game-changing play. And then, yeah, coaching, I'm good with... I'll go B+, actually. I'll split the difference between you and,
okay,
and Ray, because...
I can live with that.
The Tomlin challenge explanation was strange. I mean, he was asked about it afterward and said he wasn't clear.
Okay, let's get your opinion on this. Every scoring play is reviewed. So... Why? Obviously, Tomlin is a very sharp guy. B, on the competition committee. What are we missing here? Why would he have thought that it wasn't reviewed?
C, I'm going to add this as another piece of evidence to the mounting case file that they need somebody else on staff who's in charge of this stuff, or at least has more authority on these reviews up in the booth.
Is there something we're missing?
He was sneaky about it last year when he was asked about the Deontay Johnson. From the looks of it, he's just flying by the seat of his pants and doesn't really have much more help than all of us at home trying to make these calls, which I wouldn't advise.
That would be the most elemental thing possible. Every scoring play is reviewed, therefore why would I challenge it? What am I missing?
I think the issue there was the official explanation on the field of we're calling this incomplete on the field because they... It was confusing. I mean, they said something about replay assist.
There we go.
Review.
It was confusing on the field. Take that, Matt Warfield.
It was
Take
confusing.
That, city limits.
It was confusing.
But so Tomlin doesn't go to the news conference and say what he said if there wasn't more to the story. Let's hear what he said, Brian, about that play. Do you have that, City Dweller?
Yes, if you give me 2 seconds.
Do you like that new nickname?
City Dweller?
Yeah.
So how many is that now?
City Slicker.
7.
How many nicknames? 7?
Yeah.
Here's Tomlin.
I didn't know that they use replay assist, so I really wasn't really clear on why it was ruled a non-touchdown, and so I went to the flag. Had I known they used replay assist, obviously I wouldn't have thrown, because you're not allowed to throw when they use replay assist.
Right. So obviously Tomlin knows that.
Yeah.
So clearly, let's go step by step. At first, a touchdown?
I believe they did at first. So
they
now Tomlin's
it.
Thinking all of this process is working the way it's supposed to. They're erring on the side of a score.
Yes.
So they get an automatic review.
Yes.
I keep my red flag in my pocket.
Yes.
And we get this straightened out in a timely fashion.
Very well explained. Then what happened? What might have happened?
Then the official steps up. Now, a lot was going on in the moment, so I don't know verbatim what he said, but I think it was something about, I don't know if he used the word review, but they said incomplete. So now I think Tomlin's confused to the point of...
They said incomplete amongst themselves, maybe without the use of replay.
Yeah.
That's what Tomlin's thinking.
Which is where the gray area comes in of, okay, now I have to challenge it if I want them to take another look.
Clearly, you're right.
And perhaps the official comes over and says, Mike, da-da-da-da-da, we did this, and tempers are flaring. He's probably hot in that moment,
right?
What he thought was a touchdown now is taken off the board.
That's why I didn't blame Tomlin.
And I thought I thought he was trying to make a point and said, "You know what? Screw it. I'm throwing this flag anyway."
Yeah,
take another look at this. My guy caught this,
or maybe he was saying, "You guys on your own made that incomplete." So, as far as I'm concerned, the call now on the field is incomplete, and therefore it doesn't get reviewed like that Deontay play last year in Cincy. Which, by the way, the whole thing's so stupid, it's almost unfathomable that, okay, if it's ruled a scoring play, if it's ruled on the field an actual score, then we'll review it. But if it's not ruled on the field an actual score, even though it was in the end zone, then we don't review it. How stupid is that? This makes you and Matt Warfield wrong, by the way.
It's fascinating because on one hand, I think the officials need to just say, Mike, we already did it. The procedure in place has been followed.
That's what I said. And he yelled at me.
You legally cannot throw this flag.
Right. Yes.
I knew from the stands that shouldn't have been a challenge flag that was thrown.
But on the other hand,
you couldn't have because you didn't know what the conversations were on the field and you didn't see what Brian just explained, that maybe the officials on their own, therefore making it the call on the field before replay, decided it was incomplete.
Yeah, but Tomlin threw the challenge flag after the referees announced after review, which is obviously coming down from replay assist, that it was
is
deemed
that a fact, Brian?
As an incomplete pass.
This is a coin flip to me, but here's where I think I ultimately come down on it. You're the head coach of the NFL team that's playing in this game. You need to get the utmost clarification before you allow them to even put you through that and take your challenge, which was akin to just throwing it in the garbage for no reason.
Here's what I think, that the officials, because of the mass confusion on that play, should have gone over to Tomlin and say, Mike, I know that was very odd, but we ruled on the field that it was incomplete. Or at least you may have seen that. I can see how you would have seen that. So pick up the flag. You can you get your challenge flag back. At some point you have to adjudicate the game with some common sense.
Yeah. And same goes for Mike too. Just he's got to make sure he gets that clear. And he said basically came in and sort of amounted. I thought he was going to come in and say, "You know what? I wasn't happy with the officiating. I wasn't happy with the call. I wanted to throw my challenge flag because I'm going to take George 10 times out of 10 on that," but it seemed like he came in more of, I was confused, and it was unclearly explained to me.
You're right. So to me, the ultimate conclusion I draw is him and everybody else on the planet, not only by that call, but by half the crap that happens in these games. I'm sorry.
It was a bad product early on with Roger Goodell in the house, man. Bad, bad product for much of that first half.
And I'm sure you'll agree. The punt return should have been negated.
Yeah, talking to Rodney Williams, one of the blockers on that unit, one of the guys who kind of pulled up at the last second to not get a block in the back, and we were talking to him about that, and he said, were people online saying we got away with one there? What happened?
No, it was the running into the kicker.
Right, yes.
That was blatant.
That's why he was like, I know it wasn't me, and I said, no, people online were saying Moon almost blocked it, but he didn't, and then he crushed the dude's plant leg.
Yeah.
So
and to be fair, it was both sides, as it usually is these days. The Alex Highsmith roughing the passer was a travesty.
Yeah. I mean, one of my basketball coaches early on in life just said, the refs always are terrible. Don't complain about it. Just play.
Yeah.
Every ref, every game always stinks. Deal with it.
Limits, I want to give you the last word on anything you want. Maybe the Bob Pompiani stuff, maybe Brian's presence, maybe that particular call, maybe your experience in the stadium last night.
I love Brian's presence. The stadium experience was pretty great. Pretty great last night. I was hoping for a flyover, though, every game, and sometimes I don't get it.
I was surprised by the amount of blue in the stands, actually.
Yes, that's another thing that caught my eye. A lot of Giants fans. A lot of kind of quiet Giants fans. Not really into it that much.
I was surprised they really made the trip in droves. I mean, they stink.
Oh, imagine
nobody thought they were
going to
win that game, so... Monday night, I have a neighbor who's a Giants fan. He didn't bother going.
Yeah. I had some great pierogies at a tailgate beforehand.
Ah.
Yeah.
Very happy for you, Limits.
Yes.
You're a great fan. He goes to Pitt and Steeler games.
And I'll be at the Penn State-Ohio State game on Saturday. Somebody commented on Twitter and said, you're pretty busy seeing all these games.
I love it.
I love it, too.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.